Good morning.
Good morning.
We'll start our service with the gathering song this morning, number 36 in the hymnal. Please stand if you're able. We'd like to welcome all of you that braved the frigid weather and are here today. Our church isn't very empty for those of you that, or isn't very full for those of you that are watching online. We also welcome all those that will be joining us online, sitting in their lounge chairs with their feet up and a cup of coffee in their hand. Let's praise God together today. Please join me in the call to worship as it is written in the bulletin. We'll read it as written. Jesus calls us to praise and prayer, to song and silence. Jesus calls us to worship. Jesus calls us to hearing and healing, to service and solidarity. Jesus calls us to love. Jesus calls us to advocacy and action, to protest and provision. Jesus calls us to justice. We hear the call of Christ. We worship together in joy. Let's pray together. Holy God, we call us together to reflect on your word and our life in your world. Be with us now as we sing and pray together, that we may hear your voice and understand your way. This we pray through Jesus the Christ. Amen. Let's continue singing from Purple Book, number 38, When Jesus Worked Here on Earth. Sing the story. Let's stand to sing, please. Grace is going to play this for us through once because it's a fairly new song. So. Things are moving along very quickly here. People are still coming in at the door, and we are already at the offering. So I see our offering counter standing up. She's ready to go downstairs and count what is there. While they are gone, while they're busy, we will attend to the other opportunities that we have. Of course, there is always the opportunity of giving, and that is not only here in this building. Giving can be done throughout the week. If you drive by and see a car in the parking lot, try the door and see if there isn't an opportunity for you to give. It could be a drive-by giving. And you can do it online too, of course. We have come into the 21st century here at Zion, and that can be done. Don't ask me how, but somebody here knows. So if you would like to do that, just have regular giving, that can be done. And there is another way of giving, or using your gifts. If you look on the close to the bottom there, almost the last announcement, there is an opportunity. Now, Baker's is in bold, but I would say this is also an opportunity for eaters. So if you are a person who just loves the season of Easter coming around because the really good baking comes out, get yourselves ready, warm up your stomach, and of course get your wallet ready too, because those who volunteer to bake butterhorns and Pascha,
They will be ready to produce, and then they are going to sell this to the rest of us as a fundraiser. The source for this fundraising will be to buy a certain set of the new hymnals. We are not looking to put the new hymnals in all of our pews. That's not the intention. The goal is to have it enough new hymnals for a small group, like maybe the choir or another kind of small group. And then they could start using some of the new songs, and we hear them, and then we start thinking, oh. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for granting us this gift of this day. Help us to recognize your beauty, your graciousness, your steadfast love, and so many other good things that you shower down upon us, even though we're concentrating on other things. We concentrate on things that affect us physically, like our comfort, thinking about how cold it is, or that we don't want to fall on the ice, or we wish we didn't have the condition we have. We, these physical bodies, we come to you and present them to you with all of their bumps and bruises, internally and externally, and you receive us. We know that we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be pure to come to you, because you transform us. Your Holy Spirit is working in our lives, and for this we are continually grateful. Thank you for even the challenges that we face, and we confess that sometimes we just want to work on them on our own. Forgive us when we have neglected prayer, neglected to take care of this relationship that we have with you. Forgive us for not loving our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. Forgive us for loving these things that you have given us. And in light of that, we want to recognize the offering that we've brought today or throughout this past week. We ask for your blessing on it. And we ask for your blessing on what feels like our empty hands now, as we have let go of something that we see as security. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. Will I have enough? What about my retirement? We pray that you would bless the release of these things that we have offered to you. Bless that offering and teach us in this church how to use it well. Show us how your ministry can be continued by the shared gifts that we've brought together. And not only these monetary gifts, but the other kinds of gifts that we bring, even the gift of our presence. Give us eyes to see so many different gifts given in so many different ways, sometimes in a lot of silence. But these are gifts nonetheless, and we ask for your blessing on them. We're thankful for all of the churches in Swift Current, and we pray for them. We pray for our church. Of course, we pray for Zion, and we pray for its leadership. We pray for Camp Elam, which is a ministry of this church. We ask for your blessing on these ministries. We don't know exactly how they're moving forward. Only you know. But again, like the offering, we offer them to you too, to do what you plan to do, to build the way you plan to build. Help us not to be like those disciples that looked at this temple and said, wow, Jesus, look at this great temple. And you said, I'm going to destroy it. This is going to crumble. Help us also to have the attitude of recognition. These are yours. We've already given them to you to do as you wish. We pray for Victory Church. We pray for Warman Mennonite Church and all the things you wish to do in the church and in all of their ministries, whatever they may be. We pray for the church in Colombia that we know only by name or what we have read or heard in the news. We pray for them. We ask that you would help us to remember them more often in our prayers, especially since we don't know someone directly linked to that church. It's easy to forget. Bring them to mind. We pray that you would give them safety and security. Help them to rest on the rock that is their faith as they go through this intense persecution. And even saying those words, we recognize there's a lot of other churches around the world also being persecuted. We have no idea about. But you have overcome the powers, the principalities, the authorities. We pray that you continue to grow your church in your way and help us to follow. We pray for all of the sick. We pray for those who are struggling with COVID. We pray for those who are struggling against COVID. We pray for the distribution of vaccines worldwide. And we pray with one united voice the way that you have taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
For the scripture reading this morning, I will be reading from Mark 1:29-39. And I'll be reading out of the New International Version. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her by the hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is one of those days, or perhaps the text is one of those texts in which the sermon could go on forever. And I am very aware of the clock back there, and I know that everybody wants to, you know, in for a certain amount of time and then off, go home. You don't want the sermon to go on forever. And I understand. There's just so much stuff here. And I don't really know how Mark, as the writer of this book, actually managed to say, okay, I'm going to choose this and this and this and talk about this. I'm going to write this way and I'm going to eliminate all of this other stuff, because obviously Mark didn't write everything that Jesus did and everything that Jesus said. And none of the gospel writers did. But they each had a story to tell, and they wanted to tell it in a very unique and special way. So Mark's story is the breaking in of the kingdom. So that's his focus, and everything that he puts in there is contributing to that picture. So a few weeks ago, I mentioned to us that we should be asking that question, what's going on here? Even when we're reading this, and Val read it very clearly, she used a version that we understand quite easily. Asking the question, what's going on here, seems a little redundant, and it's just going to waste time. I say waste in air quotes. It's not going to waste time, because there's more going on here than meets the eye most times. So that question asking ourselves as we come to even this very simple seeming passage, what's going on here? And I started the week of study thinking, well, this is author authority part two. This is exactly like last week. Jesus is doing pretty much exactly the same thing, only, you know, shifted a few items around, but basically that is what he's doing. And he's demonstrating author authority as the author of life, part two. He is proclaiming the message, proclaiming something. He's proclaiming, and he's casting out demons. So half of that we just want to eliminate right off the bat, because I don't know how comfortable any of us are with the casting out demons part. And how much experience we have had, or how many books we have read about it. I want to touch on it just peripherally, because we need to recognize that it's something that makes us uncomfortable and that we don't have experience with. But if we know that Mark's message is to help us, not only his original people that were reading it, but us, like hundreds, thousands of years later, he wants us to recognize that the kingdom of God is breaking in. There's been a break-in. What do we do when there's a break-in? Call 911. We have to stop it. And that's exactly what was going on. The kingdom of God was breaking in to the world, to our lives, and is still, even now, breaking in. And breaking in means that there's going to be resistance. So there was resistance, and the resistance also came from the demons, from the spirits. Where they are right now, I don't exactly know. I'm not here to teach a course on demonology, as I mentioned last week too. But Mark repeats it again and again. Help us to recognize, even in the 21st century, there are powers out there that overpower us as humans, that do not allow us to act as we would wish to or choose to act or believe. Powers that have power over us. And Jesus' continual casting out of these demons shows us Jesus has power over the things that have power over us. Full stop. Jesus has power over the things that have power over us. And he came into the world because he wanted to proclaim. He wanted to preach. He wanted to spread this message. And the reason that I put Jesus has left the building, because the whole book of Mark, not only this passage, but the book of Mark has Jesus flitting literally here and a little bit there and a little bit here and a little bit here. This fits with my personality very, very nicely. It makes me very comfortable. I'm actually happier when Jesus is moving around. It's more of a challenge for me to stay put, as many people already know, even in conversation. You know, you're focusing on something, all of a sudden, oh, look at that, or something else pops into your mind. So this idea of Jesus leaving the building, and some of you might remember a few weeks ago, or was it months already, Grace will have a list of all the things we put on that sign outside, and one of the signs was, the church has left the building. The church has left the building. And we remembered that and we thought, oh yeah, that's cute and quirky and true because we are the church. But what happens when Jesus has left the building? And what does that mean? When Jesus leaves and Jesus goes proclaiming, he invites us, he bids us to follow him. So if we don't see Jesus leaving, we're not going to be following. First thing, we have to keep looking. Keep looking. Where is Jesus? What is Jesus up to? What's he doing? Who is Jesus? Keep looking. Keep looking. Because our looking is not always seeing. We might look. We might look at these scriptures. We might look at things without actually seeing. How many times, I hope this is a few, how many times have you looked at a red light and not really seen it? You know, it happens. Or if you're checking an intersection, you look right, you look left, and you think, okay, it's safe to go. And then all of a sudden, there's somebody blaring their horn and saying, didn't you see me? And you say, I looked. I didn't see it. I didn't see it. And that happens. This happens also with Jesus, with our faith. Looking but not seeing. And that's what the whole book of Mark demonstrates, that so many people are looking at Jesus, but they're not seeing. This drove me nuts all week. And it's still there. I'm still nuts. Because I'm looking and I'm looking, trying to squeeze something out of there. What is it that I'm not seeing? I don't want to miss anything. Sometimes you don't get the results in that way. But we do need to keep looking. Throughout all of these stories, all of these activities, looking. And hopefully by looking, we will actually begin seeing. If we don't look, we won't see. How many times, there's enough women here. How many times has your husband been looking in the fridge and calling out to you, where's the blah, blah, blah? Where's the jam? Where's the butter? Where's whatever? And you tell them, I can't see it. Isn't that right? Happens at our house. And then you go and you look. It's right here. Take it. We look, but we don't see. Same thing. Open the book of Mark. Look in chapter 1. And we look, but do we see Jesus right there? Or do we see the construct that we have of Jesus? For those of you who have ever read or wanted to read part of the Leader magazine, this is the old Leader magazine. We get them quarterly. The worship team works on them, with them. There is an article here, a wonderful article that talks about taking Jesus out of your box. And for those who would like to read that, please ask for a copy. There are 3 copies floating around. The article is by Megan Larissa Good, and it is a very worthwhile read. Because when we're looking at Jesus, are we only seeing the Jesus that we have constructed and that we feel like we can contain? The Jesus that we have constructed and that we talk about, especially in the church, and that we contain. You hear in the news, you hear a lot about containment. Containment this and containment that. Big, huge ideas. And the goal is containment. Make sure everything is controlled. And when Jesus gets out of our control, Jesus makes us uncomfortable. when Jesus releases himself from our control, it makes us uncomfortable, and yet it's the most beautiful thing in the world. When we can recognize, I have just made an idol out of my belief system. I need to look again and keep looking at the Jesus that Jesus wants to show himself to be. Keep looking and gazing at Jesus, at the stories about Jesus, what's really happening here. And if you dare, talk about it. Talk about it. Talk about Jesus. Talk about a story. Talk about something that has happened in your life, and actually say the name Jesus. But first of all, I would really like to emphasize, keep looking, 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 looking. Okay, so the second point, and I guess I've watched one too many House Hunters lately. I love the show. I love watching program after program of House Hunters, and there's just simple people looking for a house to live in, and they go through all of the rooms of different houses, and so they keep looking and looking, and maybe that's where these ideas came from, because my second point is location, 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 and we all know that that's connected to, you know, a house. The house will be chosen by the location or the business site. And if you're looking at verse 29, location, as soon as they left the synagogue, they left the synagogue. Okay, so they left that location. And this is a hint also for those who want to read more of Mark. Location, location, location. His story and his disclosure of who this Jesus is connected to the locations within his story. So Jesus starts in the synagogue. He starts by proclaiming in the synagogues. And at the end of this, oh, where is that? Verse 38, he said, "Let's go to the other towns, proclaim there. This is what I came to do." He went through Galilee proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. Casting out demons in the synagogues? I wonder. That's what happens when you look. But first, Jesus starts in their synagogues. He starts with the people who already have a belief system. And then we have to ask, how did those synagoguees respond to Jesus and Jesus' message? Did they only see someone who was breaking the law, breaking their tradition? Or did they see, wow, look at that healing. That was amazing. Let's ask ourselves when we look, and when we see Jesus active even in the world today, do we only see, oh, no, that's not right. That's not according to the beliefs of the Anabaptists. That's not in our statement of faith. I don't know about that. Or do we see some activity of Jesus who has left the building and gone out into the world? This kingdom that is breaking in is not only breaking in the synagogues. It starts there. It starts as an offering, the way we offer communion. It starts here. And if we can see, then we become energized by the seeing of what Jesus and Jesus' kingdom, the breaking in kingdom, the breaking open, the breaking of the powers overpower us. And this is continuous, by the way. This wasn't just a one-time deal. Think about all of the powers that overpower us these days. Jesus has overpowered them already. And because there's only 10 of you, I won't ask you to say hallelujah. You can say that in your heart. But that's a wonderful message. This kingdom has broken in. The kingdom of God, the kingdom that Jesus came proclaiming, is already broken into this kingdom, and it's breaking apart the things that overpower everyone. And Jesus said, okay, message preached to the synagogue, let's go, off we go. And the really cool thing, if you're reading the book of Mark in Greek, Marian, I'm talking to you right now, and anybody else who doesn't even understand Greek, that's okay. But if you look at the Greek book and you see every verse starts with exactly the same word in Greek. And you know what the word is? And. Well, not in Greek. In Greek, it's chi. But in English, it's and. And Mark is like, and. I think that's how the verse people decided, oh, this is going to be a new verse, wherever they found and. Because Mark is just so excited about this kingdom breaking in and all of the possibilities of it. Location, location, location. Okay, let me back up. He left the synagogue and entered a house. Two different locations, two different actions. Now Jesus comes into the home of his disciple, and he doesn't make this as his home base, even though this is where him and the disciples, closer communion, something specific and special for this group. I'm here to minister to you, not in the synagogue. This is in the home. He entered their home. When you're reading the rest of Mark, pay attention to when Jesus or others are going inside or going outside. He enters the home and they tell him, this woman has a fever. Peter's mother-in-law has a fever. He goes and he touches her. He lifts her by the hand and he restores her. Instantly the fever is gone. And then what happens? Jesus comes in. He restores this woman to health, and he says, you have something to contribute here. And she gets up, and she begins to serve them. She says, look, you can't put me out to pasture. I'm still good for something. Jesus is recognizing she has something to contribute. So you can take that any way that you want. Whoever you are, when you have eliminated yourself from being a contributor, stop that. Jesus is here breaking in, saying, look, I see you, I recognize, and I want this new kingdom to be restored where everyone has a place, has something to contribute, something to do. There's no retirement limit in this kingdom. No, I'm not saying retirement is bad. Don't get me wrong. Retirement should just be a shift. I no longer do this thing. I retire out of that and I do this instead. We are all part of this continual motion. What's that called? Somebody give me the word. Thank you, perpetual motion. It never stops. So Jesus has restored this mother-in-law and she immediately gets up. The fever left, and she began to serve them. What do we see here? Do we see that it's still the Sabbath? Do we see that she shouldn't have been serving? Do we see, you know, what do we see when we're looking here? Do we see Jesus seeing the marginalized? Oh, you're a little bit sick. I better not get too close to you. I'm going to catch whatever fever you've got, whatever virus you've got. Let's move on to verse 32, at evening, location, location, at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick. So these people were coming to him, and this is okay now because it's end of the Sabbath. And the whole city was gathered around the door. Location, location. They're gathered around the door. They're right on the margins. They're right at the edge. They're looking in. They haven't come in yet. They haven't become a part of it yet. And yet they desire. Can you see Jesus seeing the kingdom? All, the whole city gathered at the door. Is that how we see our city? The city of Swift Current gathered at the door. Do we have compassion on them? Gathered at the door. Think about your companions. Think about conversations you've had with people. Just nudging at the door and yet not sure if they're allowed to come in. Lots of people don't want to come to a Mennonite church because the name, only Mennonites allowed. We know that's not true, but that's the feeling, that's the sense. A couple of weeks ago when I was delivering Meals on Wheels, You go to the door and you ring the doorbell, or you just open the entrance door, put the meal down on the tray, and back away until somebody comes to receive it. To my surprise, when I was following these directions and I had gone in, I had put the bag down, I had was just going to take my first step back, the owner of the house came to the door, and I almost felt like I was breaking in, like I shouldn't be there, I wanted to run away. And he was happy to see me, and he reached out for the bag that was sitting on the table between us, and then he backed up and he said, "Come in." It just struck me. Nobody else ever in all of my deliveries ever said, "Come in." Now, I'm not supposed to go in. That's not what I'm there for. But it was such a, like, oh, he wanted companionship. He wanted connection. Do we see the whole city gathered at the door, desiring to have some kind of connection with Jesus? He cured many. They had various diseases. He shouldn't even have been touching them if he wanted to keep himself pure according to the rules. But this kingdom is breaking in, is breaking those rules that are a boundary between us and those who desire to see Jesus. He cast out many demons, releasing many people from the things that bind them, that hold them, that tie them up. Sometimes people, when they have to speak in public, they feel like they're all tied up. "I can't do anything. I can't say anything. I'm just tied up." Imagine living your life that way. When you're in the presence of other people, tied up by something, maybe something you're trying to hide, that you're ashamed of. In the morning, first thing in the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and he went out. He left again. He has left the building. First thing in the morning, while it was very dark, he left the building. I'll get to the second part in a bit. But if you look at verse 36, Simon and his companions hunted for him. They hunted for him. Is it deer hunting season? Not anymore? It's long past, isn't it? But when hunters are hunting, their eyes are very keen and they're looking for everything and they're ignoring everything that's not what they want until you see the thing that you are really desiring. These people, these companions, hunted for Jesus. And when they found him, they said, "Everyone is searching for you. Everyone. And no one can find him except those disciples." When was the last time that we hunted for Jesus? Where are you? My life is dry, or my prayer life is dry. My experience of God is dry. Where are you, God? Do we actually hunt, or do we just, and go on our way? They hunted. Everyone's searching. And his response was, "Let's go to the neighboring towns. Location, location." There is no stopping Jesus. There is no stopping this kingdom. And this is what should truly give us abundance of joy. That when we think, "Oh, the churches are dying. Oh, the churches are getting smaller and smaller." No, maybe some construct is. But this kingdom, if we see what Jesus is doing, he's doing different things in different groups, in different places, and he is moving, 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 and the disciples have to go hunting to keep up with him. If, in fact, we want to keep up, do we want to follow Jesus? Or do we want Jesus to be contained in our synagogue, in our box of Jesus? Shh, keep quiet. I'm not comfortable with that Jesus, the moving location, location, location Jesus. And he says, "I've got to go because I came to proclaim." I came to proclaim. He's proclaiming in every ounce of his being. proclaiming, not just preaching, not just speaking. He's proclaiming in everything he's doing, everywhere he's going. Can you get the illusion? Can you get what I'm going to tell you next? We ourselves can be those kinds of proclaimers in everything we're doing. Proclaiming that kingdom, that broken-in kingdom that has broken the powers that have overpowered us. And this kingdom is powered by prayer. Powered by prayer. Brian, you're going to correct me sometime if I'm wrong, but I hear computer jargon commercials, and I always hear that phrase, powered by, and I think they say some Intel cores, something, something. Like, those words are all in the sentence, but I just block it out. Powered by. So what is in the guts of your computer that actually gives it the ability to produce things? What are we powered by? What powers us? Ourselves? Our own ambitions? What drives us? It was Jesus' prayer that empowered all of his motions, his actions. He could have said, well, I've got a successful business going here, and this corner lot in Peter's house is perfect location, and everybody's coming. Why do I want to change it? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. They'll keep coming to this location. Everybody knows Zion right on this corner. This is a perfect location. And the church has been here forever. Let's just establish it more or better. Or have it be more welcoming so that we can have it here. Jesus is on the move. He says, let's go, let's go, let's go to the Galilee of the nations. That's what Galilee, it's not named because of the Sea of Galilee. They named the Sea of Galilee because of this, because of the use of this area name Galilee. It was really cylinder. This area, which was a border area, right on the border, right on the margins. Think of yourselves, not going to the U.S. border necessarily. What kind of borders, social borders, are we ready to engage in? Powered by prayer. Powered by prayer. That's where Jesus is going. I want to tell you just a really short little story that I heard. It's kind of funny. I thought it was funny. There was a church in a town, and there was a bar in the town. And you know, churches don't necessarily like bars. And so this church didn't like this bar and all of the activity that was happening in the bar. And so they had a prayer meeting and they were praying about that bar. Well, sure enough, this bar gets struck by lightning and burns to the ground. How's that for answer to prayer, hey? I was asked just this week, when was the last time you moved mountains with prayer? But that's another story for another day. So this bar burns down, and the bar owner says, oh, it's those church people. I know they were praying about my bar. They don't like me here. They don't like my business. So what did he do? He sued the church, of course. And that's what he did. And he brought them to the court. And so there they are before the judge. The bar owner says, these people had a prayer meeting and they prayed against my bar, and as a result, I have lost my business. It burnt to the ground because they prayed. And the people from the church came and hemmed and hawed, and we're not sure. Yeah, we had a prayer meeting. Yeah, we kind of prayed about it, but we didn't really think anything was going to happen. We prayed and we didn't really think anything was going to happen. And the judge said, I don't know what to do here. What am I supposed to do? I've got a bar owner that believes in prayer and I've got church people who don't. Where are we today? Are we actually powered by prayer? Powered by prayer that will lead us to follow Jesus and to actually see Jesus For where he is already in business, already active, already engaging with people on the borders, on our borders, on our limits, for those people that are gathered at the door because they want to see Jesus. May we have the courage to follow Jesus where he goes. I was going to sit down, but that's kind of ridiculous. Let's sing together. Sing the journey number 103. Why should I feel discouraged? Sing the journey 103. You can stand if you like. Bow for the benediction. Grace, mercy, and peace be with all of us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. Go in peace.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 115173 09. All rights are reserved.